All right. Well, this morning I want to talk about making the difference, salt and light. And of course, you know, that's kind of how we got the name of the church, Light on a Hill Church. And so I think it's good that we talk about that every now and then. But, you know, there's the question sometimes, how much difference can one person make? You know, can I really make a difference? And if we go back through the Bible, I think, you know, we could go on instance after instance of one person who stepped up and made a big difference. Of course, one of the big ones I think about was one time when there were a group of people listening to a preacher that went on for more than his allotted 20 minutes. And they began to get hungry, right? And nobody had food, but one boy had brought a lunch. And what did he do? He stepped up and he shared his lunch. Now, I know somebody say, yeah, but Jesus was there and he blessed it and, you know, he fed the people. But I really believe had that young boy not been there and stepped up and offered his lunch, I don't believe that that miracle would have happened. He made a tremendous difference. I remember another story in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Samson. One man, what did he do? He brought down the house of the Philistine by himself, brought it all down on their heads. He made a difference, one man. Of course, prophet Elijah, he stood against all the prophets of Baal. He was one, they were many, but he stood against them all. He took a stand, and he made a big difference. Amen? So we can make a difference. One person can make a difference. Of course, somebody's going to say, yeah, but, you know, that was Elijah. And, I mean, he was a great prophet. And I'm not anywhere near Elijah. But look at what James has to say about this. James answers that question, right? James 5:17 says, Elijah was just as human as we are. Amen? Isn't that exciting to know? James is saying, look, he wasn't some superhuman being. He was a man, a person like us. And if the prayer of a righteous man can make a difference, amen, then if we are a righteous person, our prayers can make a difference, right? And so he went on, he said, Elijah was as human just like us, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, no rain fell for 3.5 years. One man made a tremendous difference, and he wasn't a super person. He was a mighty man of God. But he was just as human as us. And I think James is encouraging us to know that we as an individual, as one person, we can make a difference. This morning I want to talk about being light and salt. That's two terms that Jesus used to talk about us making the difference in the world around us. And of course, Matthew 5 is where we get Light on a Hill Church. We kind of took the scripture and rearranged it a little bit. But I want to read from Matthew 5, starting in verse 13 this morning. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Amen? Who's the salt of the earth? You are, right? I am, right? That's what we need to say. I am the salt of the earth. How do I know that? Because Jesus said it and he wouldn't lie. Amen? So it must be true. We are the salt of the earth. But then he warns us and says, what good is salt if it loses its flavor? Amen? So we as Christians, we are the salt of the earth. We're to have an impact on the world around us. But if we stop having an impact, what good are we? And then Jesus won't go on to say, can you make it salty again? He says, no, it'll be thrown down, thrown out, trampled underfoot as worthless, just like sand, just like dirt. I think that's a warning to us. We are to be making a difference. Amen? If we're not making a difference, we're not accomplishing our calling, our purpose as a Christian. And we, instead of being something special, we become something common. And then he goes on in verse 15 and says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, that lamp is placed on a lampstand. Amen? You light a lamp, you light a candle, what do you want it to do? You want it to shed light over everything. You got to get it lifted up high. I guess the opposite would be putting a basket over it, covering it up. That candle's still burning, the light's still shining, but nobody sees the light. It has no impact, doesn't change anything around it because it's covered up. So Jesus is giving us that warning again, and he says, we put it on a lampstand so that it gives light to the whole house. And then verse 16, in that same way, and this is kind of where I want to go with this morning, in the same way that salt changes what it comes in contact, in the same way that light chases out the darkness, in that same way, you as a Christian, you as a follower of Christ, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Amen? So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. We are called to do good works. Amen. Kaylee read that verse a little earlier, right? We aren't saved by our good works. We're saved by grace, but we are saved to do good works. That's why are we saved? God saved us that now we can become agents of change, that we can do good works, that we can change the world around us. That's our calling, and I think Jesus is making it very clear here. Now, he didn't go on, at least in the scripture, and give a detailed explanation of what he was talking about. I've always wondered, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, if it didn't go on for a few hours and we just kind of get the bullet points. Amen? So maybe he went on and he gave more detail, or maybe he didn't have to give more detail because maybe the people, they just understood what he was saying. And because he was talking about terms that people were familiar with. I think we're all familiar with light. Amen? I'm glad we have electric lights. And I know here in the past few weeks, every now and then, all of a sudden, there's been a glitch in the power grid, and boom, you know, all the lights go out. Whoa, yeah, I like that. Yeah, almost gave me a heart attack for a minute. Because, yeah, you get that sinking feeling when all the lights go out, don't you? Yeah, because it's not, I remember years ago, I was working as a computer operator. This is when computers had, you know, took up great big rooms. They had specialized rooms. They were gigantic machines, and we didn't have battery backups. And you would be in there, and if the power went out, it was devastating because it might take you an hour to restart the machine and get everything back to going. And so that was like the worst thing that happened, was just that, even that brief flicker of power. And I can remember you would be sitting there in the computer room doing whatever you were doing, and then all of a sudden, boom, lights go out, and it would get really, really dark because we had no external windows. We had no emergency lighting. You were just in total darkness. Probably violated some building code, and it would get really, really quiet because it was really loud, and there were all the fans and things going, and it would get really quiet. And then, when the power came back on, then, you know, you were striding and struggling to get things going. We depend on the power to be there. Amen? It's a blessing that we have it. In Jesus' time, they didn't have electric lights, so they had candles, they had oil lamps, and I'm thankful that I grew up in an age when we had electricity. Amen? I've been camping where I've used other forms of lighting. And it sure is nice to flip the switch and have the light. Because what happens, as soon as I flip that switch, instantaneously, the darkness disappears. And I love that. Darkness never overcomes light. Amen? But light always overcomes the darkness. And so what is darkness? Well, darkness is the absence of light. But we are in the world, and we are the light of the world. And because we are the light of the world, the darkness can never overcome the world. Amen? If we have, that's the impact we're to have. Now, if we don't let our light shine, what happens? Now the darkness can start to creep in. We have a responsibility to let our light shine. The other term Jesus used was salt. And I think we're all familiar with salt, right? It's a very common thing. We probably all have salt in our homes. We have lots of salt in our home. We have, the box of Morton's table salt, the fine salt. We have kosher salt. We have finishing salt. I know I have some pink finishing salt, may have some black finishing salt, you know, all these fancy salts. I'm sure I have some rock salt somewhere. You know, we have lots and lots of salt. Leanne, some people put salt in their swimming pools. No salt in my swimming pool, but people, they get bags of salt. What? They put it in their swimming pools, have salt pools. It's a common thing. If we have ice out here on the sidewalk, what do? Pour salt out on the ice on the sidewalk. Yeah, we pour out the salt and it melts the ice. But I think our view of salt may be a bit different than the view of salt back in the time of Jesus. So I want to take just a couple of minutes so we can get into that mindset maybe of where the listeners were. And the first thing to realize is salt was a valuable commodity back then. You know, salt, we think of it as being cheap. Cheap enough that we can pour it out on the ground and not think too much about it. Can you, in Jesus' time, if you would have told somebody, I'm going to take salt and I'm going to pour it on the ground to melt ice, they would have thought you were crazy. I mean, they would have thought you were taking something super expensive, because it was very expensive, right? And pouring it out on the ground. To put this in context, we need to realize Jesus was talking about something that we really think of as common, you know, common table salt. But back then, it wasn't common. It was something very special, something very different. And actually today, it is something very different if we compare it like the comparison Jesus did with the sand. Amen? I would much rather have, you know, salt in my food than sand in my food. I've tried it both ways, and salt is preferable. Salt was valuable. In fact, Roman soldiers were paid in salt. Right? The end of the month, they go collect their paycheck. What do? They get a block of salt as part of their pay. I'm sure some of you have heard our word salary actually comes from the Latin word for salt. So, you know, at the end of the month, when you get your paycheck, your salary, you're collecting your salt, so to say. Are you, well, that's right. We use their common terms. Yeah, someone worth their salt. I've heard people say, you know, he's the salt of the earth. I've heard people say when they go to work, well, I'm headed off to the salt mines, right? Yeah, that's come into our culture, these terms, but I think sometimes we've lost connection with why those things are said. And so again, it's because salt was very valuable. So why is salt something that's so valuable? Well, the first is salt's essential for life. Amen? I mean, if you don't have enough sodium, what happens? You die, right? Your heart will quit beating if your sodium gets too low. If it gets too low, you're in bad shape. Don't pour lots of salt on your food, because you might die. Pour lots of food on your salt, you will die, right? Why? Because salt has a big impact, though. Isn't that nice to know? Jesus comparing us to salt. A little bit goes a long way. Aren't you glad that a little bit of Christianity can go a long way when we live it out and let our light shine? Amen? So salt is important. It has a big impact. Another one is salt is a preservative. Since ancient times, people use salt to preserve meat. Again, I'm glad we live in the days when we have freezers and refrigerators and life is good. And I am old enough to remember the old ice box. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? And you would get these big blocks of ice from the ice house and put it in there and keep things cool. They didn't work very well. I guess better than nothing. But especially, you know, in 105 degree heat, that wasn't a real effective way of doing things. So we are blessed. But before people had blocks of ice, before they had refrigeration, how did they preserve meat? They salted it. They made salted meat. And that salt acted as a preservative. It stopped the decay. And then they could pack that dried, salted food, and they could meet, and they could take it, and they could carry it with them, they could travel. And so it was very, very valuable just to provide food for people. And I believe in the same way, we are called to be that preserving agent in the world around us. Now, here's one that you may not have known, but in ancient times, babies were washed and rubbed with salt. Anybody know that? Yeah, well, you know, I didn't really know that until I was reading through Ezekiel. Look at this, Ezekiel 16:4. On the day you were born, nobody cared about you. Your umbilical cord was not cut, and you were never washed, rubbed with salt, and wrapped in cloth. Amen? So there's your trivia for today. And I read that and I thought, what in the world is this? And I did a little research and pretty much found out nobody knows where the practice came from. A very ancient practice. And it was a very common practice in a lot of cultures that when a baby was born, to wash it and rub it and cleanse it with salt. But it appears that at least it was a symbolic manner that they expressed hope and desire for the health of this child as it grew. So it was an important ritual. Salt was a very, very important. And I think, again, that shows us how important salt was in ancient times. So we are to promote the spiritual health of the world as salt. And then another one is salt can kill weeds. So this is another one I had to go Google, because, you know, I've heard this and I thought, do people really use salt in their gardens to kill weeds? As it turns out, they do. You just need to know what you're doing and do it the right way. And if you want to know how to do it, go Google it. There are tons of instructions on the proper way of using salt to kill weeds in your garden without killing the plants that you're growing. And apparently, a lot of gardeners swear by this because it's a non-herbicide way of gardening. I guess it's organic with salt. So if you want to be an organic gardener, maybe you need to check in to using salt to kill weeds. Of course, the Bible talks a lot about spiritual weeds. Amen. Talks about, you know, when the good seed was planted and the weeds came up and choked it out. You know, the weeds are never good. Weeds need to be killed off. We, as the salt of the earth, I think one of the things we can do is help kill off the weeds. And then, of course, Hebrews 12:15, I think this ties in really good. And we're told, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. So again, it comes back talking about the responsibility on us as the salt of the earth, right? Our responsibility is to look out and take care and help one another, so that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. What are we to do? We're to kill off that corrupting weed that's trying to grow up. Amen? We're called to, instructed to do that as the salt of the earth, because salt is toxic to the weeds. We can help kill off those bitter those roots of bitterness that are weeds that come up and they destroy lives. Amen? And then, as I mentioned earlier, salt melts ice. And I think that's, you know, again, one of those things that's kind of interesting, because salt melts ice, but at the same time, when I want to make ice cream in my old ice cream maker, I have to put salt in the ice, right? Lots of chemistry going on there. We won't talk about chemistry this morning. But the thing about salt is it can change the properties of other things. Amen? So it can change the property. So really, when you put the salt on the ice, what it does is it changes the freezing point of the ice so that it doesn't become a solid until it gets a whole lot colder. And that's the reason that we use it to make our ice cream. But you know, I was thinking about that, and I thought about, you know, the Bible talks about changing the properties of things, right? In Ezekiel 36:26, a very familiar passage. And I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take your old, stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Amen. Take something that is solid and ungiving and change it into something soft and pliable. I thought, well, that's what salt does to ice, right? It takes something that's hard and rigid and makes it into something soft and malleable and flowing. I believe that as the salt of the earth, we can change people's hearts. Amen? How? By spreading the gospel. God has the power to change lives, and he's called us to be a part of it. Amen? I mean, God doesn't need us. He chooses to use us. We need to remember that. The day I get up and think, well, God has to have me, I'm in trouble. But the day I get up and I say, God doesn't want me, I'm in trouble too. Amen? God wants me to be an agent of change in the world around. He wants me to be making a difference in the lives of others. And then finally, one of the things about salt is that it makes you thirsty. Now, interestingly enough, accepted that for years and years and years. Now there's a great debate going on, does salt really make you thirsty or not? And I don't know. I mean, I went and looked at it a little bit, and I found people arguing, you know, the experts arguing from both sides. I will tell you, I eat something salty, I want something to drink. Amen? So I think salt makes you thirsty. And again, I like that idea because, again, Psalm 42:1, a scripture, if we don't know the scripture, we know the song, right? As a deer thirsts for streams of water, I will thirst for you, O God. Amen. As a deer panteth for the water. Amen. If you know the King James or you know the song, we have the ability, I think, to make people hunger and thirst for God. Amen. Because I will tell you, that's the other argument, is not only do some people say, well, salt doesn't make you hungry. Some people say, no, salt actually, thirsty, it actually makes you hungry. So I don't know. I think salt might can make you hungry and thirsty. Amen. And I know that we, as the salt of the earth, we, as the spiritual salt, we have the ability to impact and make the world around us hunger and thirst for God. Amen? We are called to be agents of change, and our influence should cause people to want to seek out God. Amen? We should be changing the world around us. If we're not changing the world, we're like a light that's been put under a bushel, covered up. If we're not changing the world, we're like salt that's turned into sand and has none of the valuable properties that it had before. We start off, and as Christians, we should be very uncommon. We should be very special. But if we don't let our light shine and we don't let our salt permeate and touch the world around us, then we become like something very common, not special anymore. We are called to go out and make a difference in the world. And there's a story, you may have heard it, and it's been around for years and years and years, but I think it's very appropriate here. And there's a story about a man that one day he was walking down a beach. And as he's going down the beach, he sees a young boy out there. And the young boy's picking up something, and he's throwing it out into the water. And this man watches him, and finally he walks up to the boy, and he says, "Well, what are you doing?" And the boy said, well, look, the tide's going out, and all these starfish are stranded here on the beach." And he said, "If the tide goes out and they're left here, they're going to die." He said, "So I'm putting them back out into the water so that they will live." And the man looked up and down at the length of the beach, and it just went on as far as I could see in either direction. And there were starfish all up and down along the beach. And then the man said, come on, son, that's a waste of time. It's a waste of effort, because don't you realize this beach goes on for miles? And there are miles and miles of beach with starfish that are in trouble." He said, "There's no way you can make a difference because there are so many." And the boy went over. He picked up a starfish. He took it. He threw it as hard as he could. He said, "I made a difference for that one." Amen? We may not change the whole world. Amen? We may not impact every single possible life. But I tell you, if you go out and you become an agent of change, if you go out and you begin to let your light shine, if you go out and you begin to let your salt become an agent of change in the world, you will impact someone, somewhere. Amen? Don't feel that you're not accomplishing enough. Maybe your goal in life is to pick up that one starfish and throw it back. Amen? And then maybe God's called somebody else to come pick up another one, and somebody else to pick up another one. Let's not worry about who is and isn't responding to what God's called them to do. Let's do what God has called us to do. Amen? Hey, this morning, as I get ready to close, I do want to mention that here at Light on a Hill Church, again, our name, Light on a Hill, should remind us that we are to be agents of change. Amen? That we are to be making a difference. And here at Light on a Hill Church, we actually have someone, I think, who is the perfect example of doing that. Amen? I mean, somebody who constantly is impacting those around them, changing the world, making the difference for someone. Amen? Someone who truly lives out this concept of being salt and light. Somebody who says, "I may not can change the whole world, but I can have an impact one person at a time." Dedicated to doing that. So this morning, David and Shemitri, if you guys would come forward. Light on a Hill Church wants to give you a little recognition here. This is the first Making the Difference Award from Light on a Hill Church. Goes to David and Shemitri Lowe, and I thought Philippians, let me read Philippians 2:4, then we'll clap. Philippians 2:4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I thought if that, there's one scripture that sums up David and Shemitri, that would be the scripture. So now, give them a big clap. All right. Let me tell you, for those of you who don't know, as long as I've known David and Shemitri, and I don't know how many years it's been now, it's been several years, as long as I've known them, they have constantly been making a difference in somebody's lives. I know there are several people here this morning who, you know, are here because of the difference, are just the great impact that God has made in their life. And I also know from talking with you and others that it wasn't just something that started when I met you, but it's something that has gone back for years and years and years. And, you know, the great thing is, as you impact lives, hopefully those lives go out and impact others. And so it's not just the one person, but it's the people they impact and the people they impact and the people they impact. But you guys are awesome. I know sometimes, and I know you got a question, you know, is it worth it? I know that you have struggled sometimes. I know about some of the sacrifices that you've made and sacrifices of time, the sacrifices of opening up your home and bringing people in, the sacrifices of what you have, you've given away. Just you guys, I want you to know, it doesn't go unnoticed. Amen? And not that you do it for recognition, but you guys do it because God has called you to do it. But you serve as an inspiration, I think, to the rest of us to say, what can we do to be that light and salt? And if you want to know how to do it, just here's a perfect example right here. No, truly, I really do. You guys are a perfect example of what it means to be light and salt. And I know I'm amazed at, and I know every person you've reached out to hasn't responded. Amen? But that doesn't mean that you said, well, that didn't work. No, you went and you found the next person in line, and then the next person and the next person. Constantly. And I believe that you guys will do that as long as God puts you here on this earth and gives you the ability to do it. And so we just want to let you know that we here at Light on Hill Church, we appreciate you. We recognize what you're doing. We love you. But more importantly, God knows what you're doing. And he probably knows lots of things that we don't. But I just wanted to close out that way this morning. I think sometimes, and again, we don't do it for recognition. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, if you say, well, I've done this I haven't been recognized. Well, we're not doing it for recognition. But I think every now and then as a church, it's good to recognize some people who stand out. Amen. God always does. And sometimes I'll tell you, we just don't know everything that's going on even. Amen. Because if we're doing our good works and we're not letting the right hand know what the left is, or the left hand know what the right hand's doing, I never can remember. If we don't let one hand know what the other hand's doing, then sometimes, yeah, we're not doing it for recognition and people don't even know. They might recognize if they knew. But it is a blessing to have David and Shemitri as part of Light on a Hill Church. And they've had a tremendous impact on the church. Y'all have been a part of it, and I can't imagine how different the church would be had your light and your salt not been here at Light on a Hill Church. So I want to say from me personally, thank you guys so much. And I know there's a whole line of people that can come up and shake your hand and say, for what you've done for me. With that, we'll go ahead and we'll close out in prayer this morning.